Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And at this time, we are pleased to welcome in the Cubs chairman, Tom Ricketts, joins us. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
So we are going to talk to you about the Cubs offseason, but we want to keep you for a little longer, so we'll have to expand on that because it hasn't been much of an offseason yet. But thanks for joining us this morning. Let's start with last night, because I think it was interesting when you were introduced and you were addressing this Cubs convention crowd. It's been a while since we've heard you boo, and you brought up the Marquee Network and you were booed. How did that feel, and how surprising was that?
Well, I'm not sure I was booed.
I think
a lot of people, it's still not 100% out there yet, and people don't really know what it is, and I think they're worried about change. I think ultimately it's going to be the best thing we can do for fans. Mm-hmm. First of all, getting all the games onto one channel is going to be great. Getting the, just so you don't have to, like, search around for it every time. But then, like, all the content, it's all Cubs all the time. It's going to really go deep on our players. We're bringing back, there's a panel later today that's going to be very exciting for everyone, because we're bringing back a lot of Cubs greats to participate in the channel. And like I said last night, I don't think anyone will boo in a year. I think it's all going to be a great thing for the fans and a great thing for the organization.
Tom, the unknown of when it's, we know it's going to start up around February 22nd, but the unknown of who's going to be carrying it, I think maybe that elicited the boos when you brought up the Marquee Network, because people are unsure if their carrier is going to have that. Have you been assured by the people that, for the majority of the Cub fans are going to be able to get this right away?
Well, we've already got a lot of carriage deals in place. So a very large percentage of our broader area has already have it. Obviously, the big one locally is Comcast. And I think that everyone has an incentive to do what's right for the customers. So I'm pretty confident we'll get that taken care of.
So, Tom, you hear it a lot. Obviously, Marquee, I think people are excited about getting behind the scenes and getting more in depth and getting to know the players better, getting to know the managers and the staff better, everybody better. Why, I'm asked this week, why isn't Tom doing the panel here? Why are they not getting a chance to ask questions, to get to know you a little bit better, get to know your family a little bit better? What's the answer to that?
Well, we've done that panel for many, many years. And honestly, it kind of was losing some momentum a few years ago. Like, it was rated very poorly by the people that turned in their surveys.
By the people that booed?
Yeah, nobody booed, but honestly, just kind of, we thought it was kind of played out. And I'm happy to answer questions. As you guys know, I'm very, very accessible. I walk around convention. I walk around the ballpark. There's really nothing for us to not talk about. It's just a matter of, we thought we could fill that space with something a little more baseball oriented. And if people really want it back, they can fill out the surveys and we'll bring it back. We'll keep an eye on it for next year. But I think it's kind of a tempest in a teapot. We're very accessible.
So the way it works is there's so much question mark going on between how you give Theo and the baseball department their budget and when it can be gone over, when it can't. Obviously, those are in-house things. Most companies don't talk about it. It's probably not prudent necessarily for you guys to talk about it, but since the Cubs are a public trust and you've already spent, you were the second highest spender in baseball last year.
First.
Can you tell us about the dynamic between you, Theo, and the front office, and when it's okay to go over a budget, when it isn't, and how those type of meetings are handled?
Yeah, but we had the second highest payroll, but we had the number one baseball spend last year. So we were investing in other parts of the organization as well as on the field. Ultimately what you do in baseball is you generate your revenue, you pay your expenses, and you put the dollars after that over to the baseball guys. And we certainly have given, and we're at the point, and we've earned through all the years of everything we've done at the park and all the good work done on the baseball side of the organization, we're at the point where we're going to be amongst the top teams every year in baseball resources. You know, it's never going to be a season that, you know, that money was the real object. I mean, the fact is, we're always going to be among the top spenders. I think, secondly, people have to realize that the correlation between how much you spend and how much you win isn't nearly as perfect as you'd like it to be, particularly for a large market team. The top two payrolls last year didn't make the playoffs. There was two teams in the playoffs combined had less payroll than we did.
Right.
So it's really not about just the money that, that you put out there. I think the third thing is we're always investing away from on the field, too. Like I said, we had a very large spend. You know, we're putting a lot of new technology. We've reorganized the baseball organization to try to drive the new player development strategies as hard as we can. And that's very expensive. We're building a multi-million-dollar pitch lab in Arizona and putting pitch labs all over our minor leagues. So there's ways of spending the fans don't see where we're investing in our future, but it's not as obvious as getting a free agent.
And Tom Ricketts here on Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine, I am David Haughton for Matt Spiegel, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. So, Tom, knowing that, and I think people respect the fact that, you know, you do have a budget and you're trying to adhere to this luxury tax because the repeater penalties are pretty severe, is it frustrating to continue to hear the conversations and we spark them and we discuss them because you see, on one hand, all the growth in Wrigleyville and all the growth around the ballpark, and then the chairman of the team that you want to improve so badly and needs to improve in certain areas kind of stay true to a budgetary restriction that's viewed as a restriction.
You mean talk about CBT, the competitive balance tax? Yeah, it's a factor. It absolutely is a factor. Obviously, we don't talk about what our goals are relative to our payroll or relative to CBT because that's just not something we discuss publicly. But you know, there is in baseball, if you go over a certain threshold, you start to pay a fine to the league, and that money gets split back up to other teams, as well as you lose, when that money goes into a pot, that gets distributed amongst the teams that didn't pay in.
Right.
So you lose whatever you pay in, plus whatever you would have got out. And every year you're above the threshold, your penalties go up. And then if you're above the threshold long enough and high enough, you end up losing draft status. So it costs you players if you're not careful about this. So, I mean, it's a factor. You have to manage it. You have to be thoughtful about it. It's not the only factor, but it's certainly something that got put in the last collective bargaining agreement that we have to work around.
We are live at the Cub Convention. That's the voice of Tom Ricketts, the owner and CEO of the Chicago Cubs. David Hawes along with me. We're here all day at the Cub Convention here on The Score. Tom, how disappointed are you, or maybe I should put words into your mouth, what is your perception of the scouting in minor leagues over the last eight, now going to 9 years, as far as their job and the fact that we seem to have to talk about free agents and trades because a lot of guys aren't being pushed through the system right now?
Yeah, I think everybody wants to have more homegrown players, as they're called, more guys that come out of your own draft. We have had a lot of talented guys come through the system, and as you know, like several of them, we've moved on to get pieces to help us in the current season. And every July, when you're in the pennant race and you're leading your division or top of your division, you're always looking for that extra player, and that's where you lose a lot of your talent. So it's a little unfair to judge our system by the number of, you know, Baseball America prospects right now, because as you guys know, we've had to move a lot of those guys out to build in-season pieces. That said, I think that we do have a good system now. We've got a few guys coming through. There's some guys with some real upside. I'm sure Theo and Jed will talk about them this weekend. And I'm pretty optimistic. And then you throw in the fact that we've, you know, redesigned our player development model so that we're really trying to get players to their maximum ceiling earlier. And I think with some of the new progressive development strategies, I think we'll get more out of the players we have. So long run, I think we're good. Obviously, we wish there were more guys that were closer in the pipeline to being contributing. But, you know, a lot of those guys, we moved on.
Tom, can you help us understand why it has taken so long for this grievance that was filed by Chris Bryant about a service time issue that was in 2015, and we're still waiting for the results of that. Why is it taking this long, and how much has that held up, in your mind, this offseason from really beginning in earnest for the Cubs?
You know, I really don't know why the timing turned out the way it did, but, you know, we can't control that. I mean, this is really a discussion between the union and the league. And, you know, and it's a, I can't control when the arbitration began. I can't control when the arbitration ends. You know, the timing isn't optimal for us, but look, we just got to like take it as it is. There's nothing we can do.
How do you internalize when you hear your baseball department say, you know, well, we can't sign some of these guys who've been iconic Cubs. The most optimum thing we might have to do is be trading them to get true value back for them. As a businessman, you might have one reaction, Tom. As a guy who, like all the Cub fans, have fallen in love with these players and brought you a world championship, how do you look at that?
Well, I think every team has to operate within the constraints of the economic model around baseball salaries. And I think a lot of fans understand for the first 3 years, players play for minimum or slightly above minimum, and after that, they start getting their raises, you know, the years 4, 5, and 6. At that point, if it's a player you want to keep for a long time, the optimal thing is to find a way to extend them, you know, like maybe what we did with Anthony Rizzo, or give a guy a longer contract, give them a lot of financial security in return for a couple extra years of stability in the lineup. You know, we haven't been able to do that with for whatever reason. You know, some guys' agents won't do extensions. You know, some guys haven't thought it was the right time for them to do an extension. So basically what's happened is the core of that core team that came together in 15, that won in 16 and 17 and 18, you know, they're all getting to the point they're near free agency. And there's nothing I can do about how player salaries escalate as they get further along in their careers. We just have to manage it to the best we can.
As a fan, and what's your reaction as a fan to the system, knowing that guys who you would still like to retain, you know, economically might not be able to?
Look, as a fan, you know, part of the reason so many fans love the 69 team, for example, love that team, is those guys were together for a long time. You had a lot of time to get to know Ernie, you know, and Fergie and Ronnie and Glenn Beckert and all those guys. And, you know, that's fabulous. I wish it was still the case that was the way players, you know, that you got them on a team and you got to keep them forever. But the reality is players have the ability to move on, and the system is different, and so you do what you can. And, you know, it's just something we have to deal with.
Javi Baez sounded yesterday like he would like to have that core stay together, and he would like to be a Cub for the entirety of his career. How likely is it that he could sign a contract extension before opening day? And there's sort of this perception outside the Cubs in Chicago that it's either Javi or Chris Bryant to stay with the Cubs long term. What's the reality of that?
Well, that's really a Theo question. I mean, it's a Theo question. I mean, it's his responsibility to allocate our resources. You know, and one of the things I think sometimes we have to remind ourselves is, I mean, he's one of the best in the game, and we have to trust his judgment on these things. You know, obviously, once again, like, you know, back to Bruce's question, it'd be awesome to keep everyone together forever. You know, that sounds great, but the economic realities of the way players work their way toward free agency, you know, make it difficult. And, you know, we'll see
how the $35 million players can you have? Can any team have? I mean, you are looking at guys that legitimately have earned the right to make between $25 and $35 million because of the comparisons in baseball to similar. But from a franchise point, I mean, regardless, like you said, you spent, you know, the most money in baseball last year when it came to bottom line. How far can you go?
Well, everyone's going to reach constraints at some point. But like but you make another point. Like now, like the guys that are coming to the free agency this year, they're all $33, $34 million a year guys, and you can only spend every dollar once. So when you bring in those kind of guys, you know you're sacrificing another player in the future. And you know, once again, we have great baseball leadership. They You know, I think we can trust them to put the best team on the field and also to think about what's best for the organization over the, not just 2020, but future years.
Tom Ricketts for a couple more minutes here on The Score inside the clubhouse. Chris Levine and David Haugh in for Matt Spiegel. Tom, we have you here, so we have to discuss the what's, you know, around Major League Baseball, the biggest story of the week, sign-stealing scandal with the Astros, with the Red Sox. It affected the Mets. How surprised were you, and as somebody, as a chairman of a big market team, how concerned are you that this will affect the game's appeal in the fallout from the people reacting to this?
Well, I mean, I was very, very surprised when the news came out, when Mike Fiers came forward, and then some people came up with, found the video that kind of like reinforced it. I mean, obviously, in 2017, there were teams that were, a couple teams were, the Red Sox in particular, were sanctioned for figuring out the sign sequence to tell the batter when he got to second base. And that was pretty bad. The commissioner put out a pretty stern memo saying, don't use electronics to steal signs.
Sure.
And it was very, very direct. And that was the middle of September of 2017. And then to find out another team not only didn't listen to that memo, but went to the next step to try to steal pitch signs, during the at-bat, that was pretty shocking. And I just, you know, from my two cents, I think the commissioner did a great job of doing an investigation that started quickly, finished quickly. I won't opine on sanctions. It's not for me to talk about how we sanction other teams. But I think MLB did a really nice job.
If somebody who was punished becomes a free agent, or whether it's a manager or an executive, and this is not the end of this process, there could be other managers, there could be other executives punished, would you be reluctant in the future to hire somebody like that with that in his past?
Yeah, it's a good question. I guess probably. You know, I think it's going to be a consideration when... I know there's a couple guys have already been suspended for a year. There might be a couple more. I don't know. When they come back and when they're available again, anyone that's going to hire them, they'll have to think about that. You know, it's a reality.
Tom, you talked yesterday about in your speech to open the convention about how the Cubs have probably spent more money and put more money toward charity than any team in Major League Baseball. That's something to be pretty proud of. I mean, you just went past that very quickly, but it's pretty significant considering that people are calling the Cubs pretty much a cheap organization in this offseason because they're not going over their threshold.
Well, I think those are kind of unrelated a bit. Like, I think
it all comes back to the almighty dollar. Whoops.
Yeah, the... Well, obviously, Cubs Charities, we really put a lot of work into Cubs Charities over the years. We're very, very proud of it. We run baseball programs all over the city. We do scholarship programs. We do a lot in the neighborhood around Wrigley as well. And it is, it's a $10 million a year kind of thing that we put together, close to $10 million a year. And we're really, really excited about it.
Last thing before we let you go,
Tom, really well.
And really appreciate your time this morning. We know you got a lot of selfies to pose for and hands to shake.
Yep.
When you walk around the Cubs convention this weekend, when we opened the show, I think I used the word awkward to describe sort of the vibe because there's this tentativeness, this uncertainty. How excited are you about a team that you don't really know what the team is going to be on opening day? It's been 84 victory team last year, and you tend to gather at the convention and talk about the ways that this team has improved going into the next season. A lot of that is on hold. A lot of that hasn't happened yet, and a lot of that Theo Epstein talked yesterday about is yet to come, but he did seem pretty optimistic that there would be changes. What do you sense when you walk around? Is awkward accurate way to describe this weekend for Cubs fans?
Well, I mean, there's a few more uncertainties than there have been in previous years, just because there hasn't been any major trades or any major signings. But I think fans should do a couple of things. First of all, remind themselves that the core of the organization, the core of the team, is still the team that won the World Series a couple of years ago. And when you add David Ross and the energy he brings to the clubhouse and the respect he has from the players, I was down at Kyle Schwarber's wedding, and the players are all very excited to play for David. And I think that's going to bring new energy to the club. If we stay healthy, we're as good as anyone in our division. People should, you know, be, remind themselves of that. And then finally, look, guys, we can trust Theo and Jed. They're smart guys. They know what they're doing. They've done it for us before. I know there's a little bit of anxiety because there's no big thing to point to yet this offseason, but everyone should be comfortable that we're going to put a great team on the field, and it's going to be another great season.
Can you just tell us about those trades he's going to make here in the next month, and then everybody can
I don't know any of that stuff. We'll see, but honestly, and even if there aren't big trades, I mean, we've got a great core.
Right.
You know, Rossi said it best. He's like, why would I want to trade? I love these guys. So, I think everyone should be looking forward to the season and just deep breath. Still a great team. Sorry we don't have a prize free agent to talk about or something sexier right now at convention. But ultimately, just remind yourself that it's a great core, great guys, the guys we know we can trust. With a manager, we know that we'll give them new energy.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah,
thanks, guys. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Tom Ricketts, the chairman of the Chicago Cubs at the Cubs convention.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.